Let us proceed. We begin the eighth chapter in the laws of Maaser Sheni. This is the last chapter that deals with Maaser Sheni. From the ninth chapter on, we'll deal with Netta Revoi. So now we're going to be discussing in this chapter when you're buying. Last chapter is when you did the purchase in a way you shouldn't have. Here we're doing, you're buying a permitted item. It's 100% permitted. However, which will be explained, well, what if the item that you're spending your Maaser money on, it's also encased in something that's not a food, and you're also paying your Maaser money for it? Question is, what's the status? Do you have to make up for that or not? It will all be explained. There's nothing to ask, because we'll give examples, and you'll see what's going on over here. But, you know, just like we've said before, when you're buying things, you know, if you're buying for things that are not, it only works on things that are actually to buy Maaser, actual food. But if the guy's charging you for the case as well, then you're spending some of your Maaser money on the case. And then would you have to spend something in Yerushalayim to make up for it, or you do not have to? And that's the issue this chapter is going to deal with. So let's take it slow. We're going to see there's a difference between professionals and non-professionals. So really, it's not going to get clarified until we do a couple halachas over here. Halokeach behema lezivchei shlomim. If a person buys an animal in Yerushalayim for the purpose of buying a shlomim, now that's perfectly fine. Or v'chayo, or he buys a chay, an undomesticated animal, that is kosher, lipsar taiva, to have just as regular meal, and then with the korban, which you're also allowed to do. Now, who are you buying it from is very important, as the cost will depend on who you're buying it from. Let's just say, in a simple example, if you're buying an animal from a professional, the guy, a cattle breeder, or a raiser, whatever, let's say he charged you $100 for an animal. Now, you're not spending a whole $100 on the food you're going to eat from that animal. There's the hide, which also has a certain value. And a hide is not something you're going to be able to use your Maaser Sheni with. You can't use your Maaser Sheni money to buy hides. Okay, so let's say when you're paying $100 for a cow, or let's say better, a deer, in which you're going to eat it. You're going to shech the deer in Yerushalayim. Let's just say $90 goes to the meat and $10 goes to the hide. So really what's happening is when you're spending $100, you're only spending $90 on Maaser Sheni. You're spending $10 on the hide, which is not something they spent with Maaser. Mm-hmm. But there's no other way to buy it if you spend $100 on that. And therefore, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to spend another $10 in Yerushalayim to make up for it. But that's only if you buy it from a professional breeder who makes all these calculations. When you buy it from a non-professional, he doesn't know about the hides and this, that. He says, well, the rate's $100, so give me $100. And he's taking the $100 for the food part of the animal, and he doesn't calculate the hide. And it's if he's throwing in the hide for free, as it were. So then your whole $100 went to the meat of the animal, not for the hide. That's going to be the essential difference between buying it from a professional or not, as will now be explained.
Sorry, can you say the second part again?
If you buy it from a non-professional, he's not so oiskecheshbend. Mm-hmm. He doesn't figure, well, 90 is for the meat and 10 is for the hide. He just says, listen, he's selling it for what? He's just not a professional, he's not a breeder. He says, yeah, $100 because the guy wants to eat the animal. So I'm selling you the $100 for the meat. Right? He doesn't care about the hide. Throw it in for free. So that becomes the difference. So therefore, if he buys this animal, Mimi She'eno Tagor, someone who's not a professional cattle raiser, Ve'eno Medaktik, and is not so particular on the hides, then what happens is, when you spent the $100, the whole $100 was for the meat, and that was the non-cattle breeder seller's mind. Now Yotza or L'chulin, now the skin that you bought, that goes directly into Chulin because he never sold it for the $100. Afilu hoya demeo or merubel demeo basha, even if the worth of the skin is worth more than the flesh, that still the non-breeder doesn't really consider that. On the other hand, aval haloy kech minatagar, but what do you buy from a professional? Lo yotza ha'or l'chulin. The skins have not gone to chulin. They're part of what you pay the meiser sheni for. And we'll learn later that will require you to make up the money that you spent on the hides with meiser sheni. You'll have to buy other food in Yerushalayim to compensate for that. Okay, now leaving the realm of animals, now we go to buying barrels of wine, and it depends a lot. Now, the main idea to be understood is when you buy a barrel of wine and you buy it sealed, and the normal way is to sell it sealed, that barrel, it becomes tofel, supplementary to the wine, because the wine will spoil if you open up the barrel. And therefore, it's considered like part of the wine per se. So we will see how this plays itself out. If a person buys barrels of wine that were sealed in the beginning, mimakom, in a place, shedarkam limachar stumas, we usually do sell it sealed. It would not apply if you buy it opened or in place where they usually sell it opened. Mimi she'ena tagor, from a person who's not a professional. So again, he's not calculating. Now really the truth is the wine, when you're selling it from a professional, he figures, well, they charge $100 for the wine. Well, I'm charging you $90 for the wine and $10 for the barrel. Again, the fellow who's not the expert says, listen, $100 for the wine. Doesn't even consider the barrel. So if he's not a professional, again, yotza hakankan l'chulin. That barrel that you bought, that goes already to chulin because you never really spent the $100 on the barrel at all. Lafikach, therefore, if you would, this is a very tricky way to read this now, if you, what would be a scenario where the wine would be included in the Meiser Sheni sale from the non-professional?
The barrel
would be included from the non-professional. When would that be? Lafikach, therefore, all right, since the non-professional, you know, usually sells it sealed because that's the way it's done. Tzorech hamocha, the only way you could make, you'd have to pay him for, or be part of the payment on the barrel, would be hamocha liftoach rosh hakarm. If he would open up the barrels, and once he opens them up, he reveals that he's particular about it, because normally you don't sell it, you would sell it sealed. So therefore, kedesh ol yetzah kan kon chulin. Therefore, the barrel would not be going to chulin. And if you then sell it once it's open, then you're already showing that it means something to you. And therefore, the money you spend would be going towards the barrel as well. And you'd have to compensate for that.
So it's like, if they're advertising that the barrel's giving flavor to the, like what they would
say. The cask barrel.
Yeah.
A non-professional is not talking that way. That's the whole point. Now, the imratza. If the seller, who's not a professional, lahachmer al maso, let's say he goes further and he says, you know, I'm selling it you b'mida, with a measurement. He says, you know, there's 50 liters of wine in here, and I'm selling you for $50. So even if you open it up, it doesn't matter. It's not going to, you're not going to show that you're particular on the bottle. And yotza kankin l'chulin, and therefore the barrel is considered not part of the sale, because you were particular to say it's 50 liters for $50, obviously a dollar per liter, and you're not calculating the barrel. So that becomes three scenarios. The non-professional, if it's always sold sealed, and he sells it sealed, he's not considering the barrel worth anything. But by opening it up already, if he does that, then he's showing that he really cares about the barrel, and therefore you'd have to make up for Meiser Sheni against the barrel. But if he opens up the barrel and he calculates the measurement of the wine for the price, then you know he does not care about the barrel. Now, that's all in that scenario. Now, let's continue. Still with the barrel. One more with the barrel. Gimel. Lekacham psuchos. What if you bought the barrels open? So when it's open already, we already said that's showing that you want the barrel to be part of the sale. O stumos. Or they're closed, and the guy's, again, not a professional. But b'makom shedarkei l'machar psuchos, in a place where they normally are sold open, even if you do close it, okay? And if they normally do it, so it usually shows that you want to sell each one for itself. So therefore, o shalokach min hatagor, you buy it from a professional, who's particular about what he's selling. In all those cases, the barrel does not go out to chulin. Okay, end of the barrels. But now let's pick different kinds of cases. Similar notion, though. Let's say lokach sale te'enim. Let's say you buy decorative of baskets that contain figs, and you're selling a bunch of them, or baskets vanovim. It's either it's the baskets you're selling, but there are baskets that are used to hold a date, figs, or grapes, and you sell these baskets im hakli with the box, let's say, in which they are in. Okay, in other words, you're selling him 100 bags, 100 little baskets, cheap baskets, and they're in a box. So then, lo yotze d'mei hakli l'chulin. Then the money, now here's the problem over here. I think it's like this. I mean, I think you have to explain like this. I think it's bags full of dates and bags full of grapes. In other words, you got to say you have 100 bags of grapes. It's grapes in a bag. The bag is inconsequential. It's just a little, just a cheap bag. It's nothing. But you're putting them all in a box. Let's say a box has 20 bags full of grapes and figs. So obviously you're really buying the grapes and figs with your Meister Sheni, which is perfectly fine. And the bag itself, that little cheap bag, is nothing. It's not worth anything. But it's in a box, and that box is a significant thing. Then again, lo yotzu d'mei hakli l'chulin, that money for the box in which it's in, certainly hit. That's part of the price, even if he's not a professional, because that's clearly a separate item. It's not like wine in a barrel. This is like a good container, you know. Like, you know, sometimes when people deliver, businesses deliver you food, they have these really cool metal containers in which they put a ton of stuff back. The intention is they want to take it back. But if they're going to sell it to you, then they're going to be part of the charge on that. It's almost like, you know, like when you're buying from the LCBO, the 20-cent bottle deposit. So that would be, let's say you buy, use your Meister Sheni and buy wine from the LCBO. Now you got a problem, because they're charging you 20 cents per bottle for the bottle. That's part of the price. Now that Meister Sheni money would definitely have to be replaced and buy something else with that in Yerushalayim for that. So this container, which is holding all the bags, is definitely an independent item, and they're going to charge you for that when you're buying all that. So certainly that money does not go out to Chulin, and it's got to be made up. Dalit, lokach egozim ukiyotzim. Let's say you buy nuts or almonds. Now, and you, obviously, the nuts and almonds, let's think about it. What are you paying for? Now, the nuts and almonds are in their shells, aren't they? And when you weigh them, the weight includes the shells. It's, you know, whatever, $10 a pound.
Yeah.
Well, the shells definitely are contributing to the weight of the pound. Okay, now the question is, well, you could say, well, I bought 10 pounds of almonds for $100, and the shells is probably worth $5 worth of the weight. So maybe $5 has to be made up, because I'm spending $5 on shells, and shells are not something you can buy. You can't use your Meister Sheni money to buy shells. So we say, no, not a problem. Yotzu klipem l'chulim. The shells go out l'chulim. No one considers that part of the price no matter what. And you don't worry about them. If you want to take the shells and whatever you do with it, you burn it, use it as fuel or whatever, it's not considered like you spent Meister Sheni money on that. Okay, now what if lokach chosal tmorim? What if you bought with a flimsy basket of dates? Okay, that's these cheap baskets. You got the dates with a cheap basket. Yotza hachosal l'chulin. The cheap basket goes out to chulin because that's not part of the price at all. Now, yeah.
But say earlier you were talking about the cow, and then you corrected yourself and you said the deer. If it were a cow,
it would be the same thing.
Yeah, but then you can't eat the chalev. I mean, there's inedible stuff. Like if you're just counting
it
the shell,
it's the hides, right?
No, but I'm saying there's parts of the cow, just like there's parts of the peanut that's not edible, there's parts of the cow that's not edible.
Well, the shell is very, what are you going to say, minimal. Yeah. Minimal. Hides is a significant thing. Yeah. And really, people who buy cows, I mean, I don't know what the Rishlach toys
are. There's chafe parts of the cow.
I'm a chalev.
Well, that's part of the animal. Listen, you're not going to eat the bones, right? The hide is a totally distinct thing. It's totally ripped off and separated from it. It's a distinct thing. Bones, you have bones with the meat. You eat a steak with a bone. We can't start nitpicking that far. Not that far. It's intertwined with that. Now, what about a kupa sheltorm? What about a box of dates, which is much more substantial than a flimsy bag? Well, now that depends on what kind of dates you're putting in there, and will depend how significant that makes the box. Im drusos, if these are pressed dates, and they're pressed into the box, then yotzu hakupa sechulin. Then the box goes out to chulin, because that's the normal way to do it, and it becomes bottle to it. Okay? And the owner's not so particular about that. But v'imlav, but if not, they're not pressed, and they're just sitting, and just put them in there, then lo yosel, they don't go out to chulin, because the owner is particular about it, because then it's like a separate item object. Okay, next point. Hey, back to buying wine. Now we get, it's awfully, going to get awfully tricky now. Okay, next couple of halachas get pretty tricky here. Guy has wine, and he's going to make the wine Meister Sheni. Now the question is, and when we're dealing with wine specifically, and you're making it Meister Sheni, will the barrel be bottled to the Meister Sheni and be considered part of the Meister Sheni per se, because you know, you can't really take the wine without the barrel.
What do we mean he's making it Meister Sheni? He's purchasing it?
This is Meister Sheni. He is making...
He brought the grapes.
He squished the grapes. He made wine.
I see.
These are grapes for wine. And now he's got thousands of liters of wine. He puts them all in barrels. Now he has to separate his Meister Sheni. That's also done. You don't. If this is grapes for wine, you're not going to make it Meister Sheni as grapes.
This is before he leaves his farm. Like, this is,
he hasn't left his farm. He's declaring it Meister Sheni. He's got 100 barrels of wine. Now he needs 10 barrels to become Meister Sheni on the other barrels.
Right.
The question is, when you do that, will that make the barrel part of the Kedusha of Meister Sheni? Because the wine cannot exist without being in the barrel. You're going to take it out of the barrel, the wine will spoil right away. You're not going to take it through the shalim.
He's taking 10% of everything that's in barrels anyway.
He's got 100 barrels of wine. He hasn't done anything yet.
He's
he owns 100
barrels
of barrel. Now he has to separate Meister Sheni. He's going to separate 10 barrels of wine. Now, what is considered Meister Sheni? Just the wine or also the value of the barrels? Because now they become bottle or tuffel to the wine or not. And that will increase the value of what the Meister, and moreover, if you're ever going to want to redeem it, you'll have to redeem for more money. Is the barrel considered part of it or not? Let's read
you
up.
Take it to us, and what do you do with the barrels after you drop
well,
the wine?
Well, let's say you're going to redeem it.
But if you don't, it's
nothing you can do
with
it.
The city piles up with barrels.
There's nothing you can do. Oh, listen. But the point is, what if you're redeeming it?
Yeah.
That's where it really becomes the question.
So what happens if you don't redeem it?
You can't move the barrels from the city.
You drink the wine.
Well, there's nothing left of it. What do you do with an apple peel? Throw it in the garbage, right? So let's see what's going on, though. Mi shahayilo yayin shal Meister Sheni. You had wine of Meister Sheni. Okay, now he pours the wine into barrels, is all he did, before declaring anything Meister Sheni. Okay, but now the question is, what is he going to determine the nature of the barrels? Does he say anything? Does he not say anything about the barrels? So if he says something, such as Vehishil Kankonov, and is as it were, he lends his own personal barrels, Laosa Meiser, for these wines that are Meiser. In other words, he's saying, these barrels that I am putting the wine into, I am lending them for the use of them traveling with the Meiser Sheni to take them to Yerushalayim.
It's like the crates from the...
He's going out of his way to disassociate the barrel with the wine. He says, I ain't... This has nothing... This is my barrel. Now, wine has to go into something, but I'm saying in advance, it's my barrel, and I want nothing to do with that Meister Sheni. Afal pi shesosam espim, even though he sealed them. And now, really, at this point, when you seal the wine in the barrel, generally speaking, the barrel becomes bottled to the wine, because if you'd open it up, the wine's got to be drunk immediately. Normally, it would be bottled. But since he declared in advance that I'm lending my barrels to that. Lo kana maiser sakankarim. The maiser does not acquire the barrels. And even though the wine is maiser sheni, the barrel is not considered bottle to it. And therefore, if you would want to redeem it, you only have to redeem the wine and not the barrels. They're not considered part of the maiser sheni. But what if konas hayayin latocho stam? What if he put the wine in the barrels and didn't say anything about it? Then imkar hashem. Then when he announces to make it maiser, v'asahu maiser, it becomes maiser, meaning the barrels. And you now, let's say you want to take it to make it maiser sheni on something else. So it depends. It depends what he did. He just put it in. Did he seal the barrels or not? Again, you can have open barrels and say, I want that to be maiser sheni on something. So achalo sasam pim, if you have not yet closed the barrels, that's the critical point. That would make the barrel bottle. Lo koner maiser sakankani. The maiser does not acquire the barrels because the wine does not necessarily need the barrels yet. You can put in something else. But if you seal the wine in the barrels, and then you're making the declaration that these are maiser sheni, kara shame, and then he calls it maiser sheni, vaser maiser, then kana maiser sakankan. Now the maiser has acquired the barrel, and the barrel is considered part of maiser sheni. And therefore, if you would redeem the wine and the barrel, you have to redeem also the price of the barrel, because now that's considered bottle. So that's if you don't say anything. The only way the barrel will be considered part of the wine is if you close it up with the wine, seal it up with the wine, don't say anything in particular about the nature of the barrel. You now separate 10 barrels as maiser sheni. Now everything of that is considered maiser sheni. And now when you come to redeem it, you got to pay for the value of the barrel as well. And if you don't, then you'd have to make up for what you didn't and eat in your shalai. Okay, now, this is all when you're just putting wine in the barrels exclusively. What if you put other things together with the wine in there, which you can, it won't destroy the wine necessarily, as we will explain. Then, Mama's going to say the barrel does not become bottled to the wine, because it's also being used for non-wine, non-meiser items.
Non-meiser sheni as
well. Yeah, the other items are not meiser sheni, as we'll see. So since it serves two functions, we don't say it's bottled, and therefore it never acquires the status of meiser, such as hifkid latocha kankan, together with the wine, you put in raviz chulin, a raviz of wine that is chulin.
Oh, gosh.
That's tevel. And that's not a problem, because when let's say you had the whole barrel was meiser sheni wine, and except for raviz, well now that it can be mixed. It's not a problem because you got that wine. You can redeem it. I'm going to redeem everything minus a raviz. That's not a problem. So now the barrel is holding something that's also not meiser sheni. Oshikarasachoshemer, you put oil in it, which will float to the top and will never mix with the wine. That's not meiser sheni. Or even could be meiser sheni, but the oil does not need the barrel. O chometz, or vinegar, o tzir, or fish juice, o tvash, or meiser sheni, or honey meiser sheni. And all of these could be meiser sheni, but none of them need the barrel. Only wine must have the barrel. Stam, he didn't make any conditions. Bein mishasazim, doesn't matter if you sealed it first. Bein ashalosazim, he didn't seal it. Lo kana meiser sakankanim. The meiser does not acquire the barrels because it's being used for other things besides the wine. It will not be bottled to the wine. Okay, now, how about the following? Tzvi, you buy a deer. Shalacho bekesav meiser. You bought it with the money of meiser sheni to buy for your own personal use. It doesn't matter where. Let's say in Yerushalayim. It doesn't matter. And then it dies. All right, so, you know, what are you going to do?
Oh.
So you and now Vamesa dies, so it's all holy. So what do? You cover it or you bury it with its skin. Okay.
Have you done it then? Have you taken care of your?
And that's all. There's nothing else you could do.
You don't have to eat it, and you don't. And it's
that's
gone
right.
And
that's it.
You can't eat it.
There's nothing you could do.
You can't eat it, but you don't have to.
It died. It's an avela.
You don't have to use it money again.
Like, no, that's it.
It's like you're
just bury the whole thing, and you cannot benefit from any of that. Because you can't be poda that thing for kachim. It's all you can do is give it to a dog. And that's not something you're going to be poda. You don't have to redeem it anymore. So all you can do is bury it. But what if lekocha chai? You bought the deer alive.
Can't you say it's tamei, so it doesn't have the holiness anymore?
Basically, that's all you're doing. You're burying it. That's all you're going to do. Ushchot, and you shechted it. And so far, so good. You could eat it. But now, not that it's dead, but v'nitna becomes tamei. So what's the law when things become tamei like that? You redeem it, because it still has a value. So now, harezi yipada, kishar person, it's no different than fruits that become tamei. You redeem then as well. Now here's a very interesting scenario. Let's see if we can just finish up this halach, this part, and then we, because the next part's a new inyan. So just, it might take a couple minutes, but we've got to do this part. We're still in the middle of Vav, but it's a different topic. Okay, let's see. It took me a long time to get this, but I will get this. Okay, let's say you have a certain amount of money, Meiser Sheni money, but it's way, and it's, you bought one big dinar. Okay, now you are not going to be spending a whole dinar in Yerushalayim. You're not going to be spending a whole dinar in Yerushalayim. So what are you going to want to do? What you're going to do is you're going to want to buy food in Yerushalayim, and you're going to buy it, and you, let's say you have a dinar, it's worth X amount of dollars.
Is that
worth 20 more. 20 more.
Is that how much your Meiser Sheni was?
Yeah, you have redeemed the money, or you have Meiser Sheni money.
It was worth a dinar.
It's worth a dinar. Okay. You're not going to spend, that's a lot of money, you're not going to spend that on your next trip all to Yerushalayim. You don't want to carry that kind of cash on you. So what do? You take some regular cash. And what do? When you're going to want to buy something that costs, let's say, a ma, you're going to say, I want to take from the whole dinar, I want to redeem one ma of that dinar, so I'll buy a little chicken.
Right.
Okay? Okay, so now that's sitting at home, so out of the whole dinar, one ma has been nischala. Has become, has lost its kedusha. Yeah. And your game plan is, over my maybe three trips over the year, I will have spent all the money. I will have redeemed it all while in Yerushalayim. Follow what's going on over here?
But you pay with regular money? Or?
Yeah, because I was being poted as I do it. I say, here, I want to buy a chicken, so I got a whole dinner at home. I want to exchange. I want the holiness, a fraction of that holiness, to go off of this one, to go on to this
one. Like a
coin.
Pie chart, and more and more of
yeah,
it's becoming...
because I don't want to schlep such a lot of money. I could rob me. I don't want... It's like Lamar, if you have $1 million, you're not going to bring it all with you, right? You're going to say, okay, I'll just spend a little, and I'll redeem it off of that. And after a number of trips, I'll have the whole thing redeemed, and I'm going to schlep such a heavy coin, or whatever.
So there has to be a physical coin? It's not just the
yes,
IOU?
Yes, we're talking about a coin.
It's not just an IOU.
This is the case. Okay, why do you have to make another case? This is hard enough with the case. All right, this is the case. So you got this coin that's a dinar, and you slowly are redeeming it with money you have in Yerushalayim to buy food. Everything's kosher, what you're doing. It's our
business. I understand, but didn't we learn it's not a good idea to redeem
money? Well, you can't take all that kind of money. Can't take all that kind of money. It's too much money to take. Okay? So now, what's going to happen is, so hameniach dinar, you're leaving a dinar at home of Meiser Sheni. Why? Lios ochel kenegdo, to eat things Yerushalayim opposite that by taking money, redeeming that money and using it on that. Achi yetzuchu, and you want to do it until you've spent a full dinar's worth. So now you've redeemed the whole dinar, and now that whole dinar goes to whom? Now, and at the time when you started this enterprise, you got a halt cup here. Hoya had dinar. A dinar was worth, yotze beser ma, was worth 20 ma. It was worth 20 ma. So let's say, for example, a chicken costs a ma, just to make it simple, and you figure it'll take me 20 chickens worth. So, okay, and on my first trip, I bought 10 chickens, so I redeemed 10 ma of my dinar, and I've redeemed half the dinar. Okay, so far so good? Yeah. Okay. And on, let's say, your first trip, you ate 10 ma's worth, so you took 10 ma of coins. You redeemed it against 10 ma of the dinar, and everything's fine. So you've got a half a dinar that's still holy, that still needs to be spent or redeemed in Yerushalayim. So far, so good. Now, guess what? The value of the ma, the exchange rate, has dropped or risen. So let's say, for whose luha ma? The ma has gone down in value. If the ma goes down in value, that means the dinar goes up in value, right? And let's say lacherzman, and now a dinar doesn't go for 20 ma, but rather va'arei a dinar yotzer ba'arboy ma, now costs 40 ma. It's worth 40 ma, right? Now let's think for a minute. When it was worth 20, you spent 10 ma, and you had half a dinar left.
That's only a quarter.
Now I got the dinar's gone up in value because the ma's gone down in value, right? And now that dinar is worth 20 ma. Now, how many ma do I have to spend off of that dinar now? So tzorich lechol alav be'esrim ma. You're going to have to eat 20 ma worth.
Half the current value of the
because dinar. Now it was half a dinar was left. And this half a dinar is now worth 20 ma. So you could have said, well, no, I only owe 10 ma. Because when I left, I only owe 10 ma. No, we don't say you owe 10 ma. You own half a dinar. And now that half a dinner is 20 ma, you got to spend 20 ma. Okay? And then when you spend, the next time you go, another 20 ma, v'yachach yesachun, then that coin, dinar, can go out to chun. Okay, now we're going to do the opposite. What if hukru hamos? Now, and that's what you have to. You have to spend the 20. That's the only way you will fully redeem that dinar. So now we'll do the opposite. Okay, you've spent 10 ma. And now you figure, okay, I have to spend 10 more. But now the ma'a goes up in value, which means the dinar goes down in value. Hukra hamos, now the ma'a becomes more valuable. And instead of you owing 10 ma'a, right? Vareha dinar yotze be'eser moy. Now a dinar is only worth 10 ma'a. So your dinar has been diminished in value. So now, even though you have a half a dinar left, but how many ma is it worth now?
Five.
It's worth five. So ochlov v'chamish ma. So all you have to eat is five ma, right? Even though what? You're going to leave another five ma left.
Right.
Right? And the other five, I go to chulin right away. You got that? Because there was left 10. But now that the ma has gone up, so there's less of that, and now only five of that. So you only need to use five, even though I have 10. So I use the five, and that's all I owe, because it's still half a dinar. But now I've got an extra half left. Okay, so you benefited from that, and that goes straight out to chulin.
General question about the dinar.